All right, before we get started, I just want to give you another announcement. As you probably know, many of you knew Jim Wall, who was with us for a number of years. He passed away just about a week and a half ago or so. If we're going to be having a service for him this Friday, there will be a visitation. I'm getting a little ring with this, if you could fix that, somebody. There will be visitation from 12 to 2 here at the church, and also there's the service at 2 p.m. So if you could make it out to that, that would be awesome. I'm sure the family would love to see you. I also wanted to talk to you about something positive, something exciting that happened. This past few days, thank you, Henry. These past few days, I haven't got a lot of sleep. I'm actually like running on empty right now. Had an energy drink this morning, which I never have ever in a world, but I needed it to get through the day because I was at the Forever Weekend. Will you throw up a picture? For those of you who don't know, it was awesome. For those of you who don't know, me and a bunch of my friends who are also pastors and work with students, we decided to start our own, like, not a conference and not a retreat and not a camp, but kind of all the things put together, because most of the things we went to were really boring, and we wanted to make it more fun. And we wanted to make it cheaper, because everything is really expensive. So with the help of some incredibly generous donors and some generous business owners who love the Lord, we were able to raise around $8,000 each year. This is our third year. And all of those kids you see, yeah, all of those kids you see are just from our church. That's just us. That's just our church. And honestly, it's missing some in there. It's missing a few in there, too. So we had a total, with volunteers, 48 of us, which was just incredible. Huge, huge shout-out to my volunteers who helped. Henry did sound. We have Dawson. I put Dawson in with one of the toughest rooms so that he could get used to it. Mac also did. Ian Laird. We had Judy Leone. We had Jeremy Campbell. Bridget Mokel came and helped, and Jennifer Bells and Emily Campbell. It was just awesome. And I want a huge thank you to you guys for coming out and helping us. Also, huge shout out to Central Baptist, lent us one of their 15-passenger vans because we needed it, and that was a huge blessing. Thank you, Lord. And also thank you to the church here for all of your, you helped more than you know, because lives were changed forever at the Forever Weekend. Amen. If you got your Bibles, if you'll turn with me, I'd love to open with some scripture to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. It's probably a story that you have heard multiple times throughout your life. If you don't, listen, I'm going to read this, but I'd love if you could open up your Bible, get your Bible app, and really follow along, because I'm not going to rely so much on the screens. I thought, you know, it'd probably be better if we're all in the Word. Amen? That's what we're here for, to get in the Word and to hear from the Lord. So Joshua 6, verse 2, we're going to read through 5. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with the king and all its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days. Everybody say 6 days.
6 days.
All right, verse 4. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the Ark of the Covenant, God's signifying God's presence. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. Verse 5 says, when you hear them sound with the long blast sound the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Can we do that today? Wow, you guys were better than the kids the other day. Wow, that was awesome. And then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. If you're taking notes today, I am talking about today, the subject is the walls will fall. The walls. Look to your neighbor, tell them, the walls will fall. Now, 40 years before this, what we just read, 40 years before this,
In Numbers chapter 13, we read this in the book of Numbers chapter 13, Moses is preparing the Israelites to enter this promised land. 40 years. You're like, if you're new to this, you've never heard it, you're like, well, what happened? Why? What took place? See, God had a promised land for Moses, and he's got a plan for you. God has a promised land for me, for you, for everyone, for the Israelites. He has one for you. And listen, God said, I'm going to take you into this land flowing with milk and honey. Honey's sweet. Yeah. They didn't have sugar back then, right? But this place, God's basically saying, I'm going to give you the sweetest land. I'm going to give you the best land. He says he's going to do this, and he said, yeah, there's going to be some giants, and there's some people occupying it, but it's good land, and it's yours. It's yours. Listen, the promises of God are on, there are promises of God that we, like, we're going to go to heaven. When you say yes to Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. That's true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. But there are promises on this side of heaven that that God wants to give you, just like he wanted to give those Israelites some things right on this side of heaven. Now, some people get mad. They're like, well, the promised land is heaven. Yeah, that's a promised land. But the truth is, it's not the promised land. Because the promised land had giants, and heaven don't have no giants. Heaven ain't got no walls. Heaven ain't got no land that devours people. Heaven is perfect. So there is something here for you and for me that God wants to give us. He wants you to walk into a promised land in your life. He wants you to walk out of addiction. He wants you to walk out of those things and get freedom. I got good news for you. The promised land. This is the place where the believer can walk. You know, if they obey and walk in God, they can get this. Now, Moses, when he got this word in Numbers 13, 40 years before, he sends out 12 spies. I don't know why 12. I think it's because of the different tribes of Israel, 12 tribes. Jesus had 12 disciples. That's pretty cool. So he sends out 12 of them. And it's funny because we only really know two of their names. Because, I mean, you couldn't tell me. I'm sure most people couldn't tell me the other 10. Because here's what happened. He sent out 12 spies to go check out this land that God said you can have. It's yours. You own it. Go get it. So he sends out these spies to check out the land, and 10 of them come back with a negative report. But two of them said, Joshua and Caleb, so you knew those. They're like, yo, this land is dope. This land is choice. I want to stay here. This is great. Let's go get it. That's what they say. But 10 of them, they say, no, we can't. We can't go. It's terrible. Yes, there's milk and honey, and look at all the fruit we got. However, there's giants in the land, they say. There's giants in the land. The land, there's walls, there's fortified cities. And what they did was they took God's promise that he was calling good, and they called it evil. We have to be careful. God warns us, do not call what I call good evil. So they're the 10 spies there, they're calling back with an evil report. And they're looking at the promise of God and calling it evil. If we're not careful, we will do the same thing. If we're not careful, you'll call God's promises over your life evil when God says they're good. This is why he warns us. See, God says your family is a good thing. Husbands, God says your wives are a good thing, but there's a lot of complaining and cursing going on. Yeah. Ladies, same thing. God says your husbands are a great thing, a good thing. But what do? Are we cursing God's promises over our life? How about that job you have? You know that's a promise God gave you? He gave you that. He gave you that car. Well, some of you are like, bro, that car's straight from the enemy. No. He gave you your friends. He gave you this life. He gave you what you have. He gives you these things. Don't call the promises of God evil, because you will lose it.
You will miss them. You will be like the Israelites for 40 years wandering, never seeing the promised land. We end up cursing the thing that God promised us sometimes. We end up cursing the things we prayed for. We end up cursing the things that we're supposed to inherit because we think, you know, instead of thanking God, we're just upset that it's maybe a little bit more challenging than we expected. So we curse it. We end up cursing where we live. Huh, Western New York. I hear more cursing on this land than anywhere else. Ah, the weather. The weather stinks. It's cold. I want to go. And you all go down to Florida. Go ahead. Go down because you all come back anyway. Yeah. You ever notice that? People are like, I'm getting out of this state. I hate this state. They leave and then they're back in 2 years. Hey, what's up? How was it? It wasn't as good as I thought it was. Anyway. And if you're not careful, though, you'll end up like those 10 spies staring at the promised land and calling it bad, staring at the promises of God and calling it evil. If we give an evil report of the good thing God is doing in his life, the moment that happens, it means we can't even inherit. We can't even inherit the promises. In Numbers 13, I don't have a lot of time here, but there's the things that they're really, really upset about, these 10 spies, is the giants. I mean, I would be scared of giants for sure. There's giants, that's scary. Fortified land, the land, and the land devours. They were worried about it. But in Hebrews chapter 13, even though those were all their reasons why they didn't want to go in, Hebrews chapter 3, this writer of Hebrews tells us why they couldn't enter the promised land. Here it is, right here on the screen. Hebrews 13, 19. So we see that they were not able to enter because of, was it because they were outnumbered? Was it because of the giants? No. Was it because they weren't skilled enough? Was it because of their gender? No, no. Was it because of their lack of education? Was it because that they, the color of their skin? Was it because that they were, maybe it was because they just didn't, maybe their mom wasn't the right person, their dad wasn't the right person, or they grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, and they just can't get ahead in life, and people just don't, they don't get the same opportunities other people get, so therefore they can't get to the promised land, because, no, it's because of their unbelief. Yo, listen, I'm talking something countercultural to you today, because this is something that we don't hear anymore. People want to be victims, and we want God to pacify us in our victimhood. We're like, God, would you please, oh, I can't give you the promise. They could not enter, not because of giants, not because they did not enter. Those 40 years, generations of people, a whole generation. The only families that went were Joshua and Caleb. What was the difference? Unbelief. Looking at God's promises and saying they're evil. We got to be careful, y'all. Everybody wants to be a victim these days. Everybody wants to. It's like the most popular thing in the world if you're a victim. So now people are making up things. They're making up things so that they become, they're saying right now, I'm sorry. I'm not getting political. I'm just getting biblical, okay? Listen, I know. Listen to me. A report just came out that somewhere near 80% of the female girls who say that they are part of the LGBTQ plus IA question mark, whatever that is, they say 80% of them change later and that's not what they were. But they want to be a victim. They want something that says, here's why I can't get there. We can't get there. But it's not those obstacles. It's not those things. God says none of those things can limit you except for your unbelief. God says you are not a victim. You are a victor. You are more than a conqueror in Christ. Our culture has lied to the body of Christ and says that you're a victim. Oh, I can't get ahead. I can't get by. I don't know. It's not determined on your gender or your color of your skin. It's not determined on your upbringing. It's not even the president of the United States. None of that matters. People are like, we're doomed because of the leaders. Nope, God said, that's okay.
I got promises for you. They're good. Don't be scared of the giants. Don't be scared of the Democrats. Whatever. Republicans, you cannot inherit the promises of God on this side of heaven with unbelief and an unwillingness, really, to trust God. I'm not limited by this. You're not limited by this. And if we don't hear this word, we're going to live our whole lives feeling like we're defeated and we have this enemy that doesn't even exist. Because God said it's yours. It's the devil. It's the devil. I love that one. It's the devil. He's really after it. Listen, the devil ain't got nothing. Nothing. You got God. I don't know why everybody gives devil so much credit. He's a loser. He's a loser. He lost. He wants you to be a victim because he thinks he's a victim. That's why he left God. He's like, I can do this better. God doesn't matter. That's why he did it. That's why he rebelled. He wants to bring everybody down with him. It's not principalities and powers over the city. Yes, there's going to be giants, but the promise is yours. There's going to be walls, but the promise is yours. So I want to talk about walls today. I want to talk, what is a wall? What is a wall? And the best way that I can describe a wall is a wall represents long-standing issues in your life that you thought will always be there and it's always going to be that way. That's a wall. That's a wall. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be that way. They try to convince us that it's going to be a part of our lives forever. But now listen, you got to know this about Jericho. One of the oldest cities. In fact, they say they're probably the oldest city that we have right now that they can actually excavate and go into and look at. That means that Jericho was there before Egypt. Jericho was there before Israel, obviously. Jericho was there before Abraham. Those walls were there before them, before those Israelites. But they were not there before God. God's like, what? What? Some of you have been born into walls. And you think, hey, everybody in my family's always been like this. All the marriages fall apart in my family. All the marriages, you know, I mean, everybody. That's just how it goes. All the men in my life have an issue with pornography. So I guess I have to. It's those things, those generational curses or sins that you've had for so long that you think, I'll never get out of this. Because you've been staring at the walls. You've been staring at that. I think it's true too. Like some people are like, well, I have financial problems because my parents had financial problems. God's like, interesting. Those walls, they seem bigger than you, right? But they're not bigger than God. Those walls aren't bigger than God. I got good news for you guys. You might not be strong, but he's stronger. Those walls might be big and scary, but he's bigger. Buffalo, Western New York, was here before God. No. That's what some of you are like, well, it's so terrible. This city's terrible. It's awful. It's been here. It hasn't been here before God. God's been here way before that. Buffalo was around before we got here, before you got here, before you were born here, before you moved here. And yes, there's strongholds in this area, but God's bigger. So it reminds me of, I think we just touched on this the other day. When the disciples were walking around the city, and they're staring up at that temple, and they're like, wow, look at the temple. It's so huge. Look at how wonderful and they're just looking, they're marveling at this thing. And Jesus is like, oh, you think that's cool? Yeah, that's going to fall. That won't stay there. You think it's so great? Why do we do that? Why do we look at things and think they'll be there forever? It's so temporary. And God's like, no, I was here before that temple, and I'll be here after that temple. And that temple will fall, but my kingdom will stay. And your promises of God, don't look at those things. Jesus was like, listen, I'm here now. But same with the Israelites. They're looking up at 30 feet high walls. He's like, I'm bigger. 15 feet wide, I'm bigger. I can do it. But the wall, God says, listen, the wall will fall. The wall will fall. So here's the thing, though. Joshua and Caleb and their families, like I said, they were the only ones who went into the promised land. Millions of people missed out on it. Whole generation missed out on this. And why am I saying that? Because there's so many of us that, yes, you get saved, you say yes to Jesus, you make him the Lord of your life, you're going to heaven, amen. But so many of us are going to get to heaven someday and realize that there was so much left for us that we didn't walk into. There was so much for me that I never experienced. So much, like those Israelites, like, we could have just came in there. We could have just walked in there. Yep, could have, but you didn't. And it wasn't God. Do you notice that?
I love that.
I love it. Because it's not like God's like, I'm not going to let you go in. They couldn't go in because of their unbelief. Not because God was like, I'm not going to let you. No, they wouldn't. It wasn't God being mean and withholding it. I'm not going to give you your ice cream after dinner. No. They did not go in because of their unbelief. That's so powerful. I don't know how much more to say that. All right. So, yes, I believe every promise of God is yes and amen. I believe that 100%, and I believe you're going to see it in Jesus' name. I believe that. I don't care what walls are in your life. I don't care if it's an addiction, an internal battle, a secret sin. I don't care if it's a stronghold or a pattern that you've lived in your entire life. The walls will fall. Look to your neighbor once more. Say, the walls will fall. All right, so let's talk about a couple things we need to do in order to see the walls fall in our life. God's got a job and I've got a job. I don't know how many times to say that. I'll probably say that till I'm dead. I've got a job, God's got a job. So here's the first one. Number one, if we want to see some walls fall in our life, obedience brings breakthrough. Obedience brings breakthrough. We just don't preach this anymore in our culture. I don't hear that. I don't hear it. I hear God's love is great for me. God's love is great for me. It's so great for me. And then you wonder, why am I getting my butt kicked by the devil all the time when God loves me so much? Why is that happening? Listen, when God talks about inheriting promises, it's obedience that brings the breakthrough. It's freedom that brings the breakthrough. Oh, but God's love brings me freedom. I know, but please hear me. If you actually want to see walls break down in your life that have been there forever, if you want them to fall down, you're going to have to be obedient. You're going to have to do what he is telling you to do. I want you to win in life. I really do. God wants you to win in life. But that's not going to happen just because of God's love for you. I know that makes you nervous when I say that. You're like, but his love can do anything. He can't force you to do anything. Have you not figured this out yet? He won't. He loves you too much to make you do anything. But he does instruct you, and he does give you something to follow. I'm so grateful for his love. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful. But it's obedience that brings breakthrough. Here in verse 2 in the Joshua that we're reading, it says here, he gives them all these orders. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered you into the hands. It's like he's saying, see, I've done it. And then he gives them these instructions because God doesn't suggest. Some of you are like, wait. Does he? No, he doesn't suggest. He gives you a pretty clear thing. Don't have sex before marriage, y'all. That's pretty clear. But some of us are like, well, you're going to do that. You're not going to see breakthrough. You're going to do that. You're not going to see breakthrough. I'm sorry. It's not like God is like withholding from you and doesn't want you to have fun. He wants the walls to break down in your life. When God speaks, he commands. When he's telling us to do something, he's telling us to do that because it's never just a command. He has a blessing on the other end. He has a breakthrough, a freedom, a prosperity on the other end. People are like, listen, I love people that are like, God loves me. Why won't you just give me a lot of money? And the preacher on TV is like, if you send me $100, then God will give you $1,000, right? That's not the obedience. Don't do that, right? How about budget your money? How about tithe?
Man, I've never met somebody who is a consistent tither and said, man, my money's so terrible. I'm awful with money. I can't. No, they're not. You give him his first, he'll follow through. God gives us instructions, and he's trying to teach us. He's commanding us with a specific outcome in mind because he knows what's best for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Not to harm you, not to hurt you. Good plans. I want to know what the planner is, and I want to follow the plan that he's got for my life. Amen. All right, so I want you to see this. Their obedience here. It wasn't the walking around the walls that dropped those walls. It wasn't shouting at the walls. Some of us charismatics, we love to shout, don't we? We're like, woo, God's breaking down the wall. No. Nope. I declare it. No. Nope. And some of you are like, okay, I just got to walk around something. God, give me this. Please walk. And you're walking around. Some of you guys, I saw you in the lobby today. It's single guys walking all around a bunch of single ladies. Hey, what's up? What are you doing? I'm just walking around you 7 times. And then I'm going to shout, and God's going to deliver you into my arms. It doesn't work like that. It wasn't the walking. It wasn't the shouting. It was the obedience. When he said, shut up and don't talk, we're going to shut up and not talk. He said to be silent. That would be tough for me, right? It's like, okay, walk around, go in, there's giants. Okay, I'm good with all that. Be quiet. Because we don't like to obey. Obeying is hard. If you don't know, just look at your children. Nobody taught my kids not to obey. It wasn't like they were like, I'm like, okay, child, this is how you disobey. You look at me and you say, no, like that. That was like her first word, right? All of them. No, I'm not doing that. We're the same way. But if you want breakthrough in your life, you got to do what he's telling you to do. Don't come, like, listen, I'm sorry. But a lot of your issues could just be fixed if you just follow what God's telling you to do. I want the best for you. God wants the best for you. But somehow the enemy confuses us and makes us think that we can't do it, but we need obedience to drop the walls. It's not religious rituals, not tradition, it's not shouting, it's not any of that stuff. No, it's obeying. Please notice, when God said this, he said right there in the first chapter, right in verse 2, he says, I want you to see the walls. See, look. No. He doesn't say see the walls. No. He says, I want you to see the promised land I've given you. He doesn't say stare at the walls. That's what we do. We just stare at the walls. We're like, He said, look past the walls into the promise that I have for you. Look past the walls. Let me ask you this morning. Look past your walls right now. If you were able to, what would it look like if that wall in your life was gone? What would it look like if that addiction was gone, if that hatred was gone, if that resentment, if that sin was gone in your life? What would it look like if you decided to pray for your enemies and made that a routine that you're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray for those who hurt me. I'm going to do this. This is why we need to, fasting's important. Fasting is really good. Because you're telling your body no, you're obeying God, you're like no, you're dying to self and you're doing something that's hard. And you're doing that, and it almost like cleanses your brain. Some of you just need to take some time off of social media. Don't put me up there, please. Because the world is just sending so much garbage into your life in lies and that stuff comes. Sometimes you just got to take a break
Take a break and fast from it for a little while so that you can listen to his voice, not Instagram. So you can listen to his voice, not Fox and CNN. So you can hear what he's saying. Sometimes you just need a refresher so you can see what God's doing. When we fast, when we pray, when we obey him, we see walls break in our life. Because you got to see beyond the issue. You got to see what's on the other side. And you got to obey. Obedience brings breakthrough. Number two, write this down. Wait willingly.
Oh, I hate waiting.
You hate waiting too. We all hate waiting. We're not good at waiting. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went out. Yeah. Silence. So, okay. Whew. All right. So, the couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went out to dinner. And do you know how this works? This has happened like a million times. But you go out to dinner and you go and you open up the doors of the establishment and you see there's a sea of people in the waiting area and you're like, oh, come on. And you go to the hostess and you're like, hi, party of two. Just two. Yeah, that'll be 45 minutes. I'm out. I can't do it. 45 minutes. No, and then you get in your car and you drive for 45 minutes trying to find another place, and you get there and they're like, oh yeah, it'll be 15 minutes. You're like, great. You would have been eating already if you just stayed. We're not good at waiting. I love this one too. Like, you ever go to, you go to a drive-thru, like Tim Hortons. You go to this Tim Hortons or this, it doesn't matter. You get into that line and you can't get out. They designed it that way, y'all. Because they know we're bad at waiting. Like, you're over at there at Burger King, you could skirt out. I'm gone. I ain't waiting. You can get out. Tim Hortons, they're like, you're going to wait? We don't even care. If we're taking a long time, you're stuck here. You can't go. Unless you got one of those big trucks or something, you're like, going on. They know we can't wait. That's why they built it that way. Well, if we can get them into line, then they're not going to get out of the line. I'm telling you, that's the truth. I swear it is. But we need to learn how to wait willingly. God's like, Joshua, I want you to obey this word. Like, first of all, he gave him a promise, and Joshua had to wait for 40 years. That's a wait. But also, he's like, I want you to obey this word for 6 days. I want you to walk around. I want you to do it. Now, how do I wait willingly? How do I do that? How do I wait willingly? Well, with a good attitude. Oh. Some of you are like, I'll wait, but I'm not going to be happy about it. No. No, we wait, and we wait willingly. We wait with a good attitude. And then God gives us the things that you waited patiently for. Don't take matters into your own hands. Wait for the Lord. God gave Joshua all these instructions. He says, get in order. Do not speak. Again, hard one. Walk around the city once a day. Walk, don't talk. Do this for 6 days and then shout, right? He's telling them what to do. God is so specific and he expects us to have obedience with the right attitude. Some of you, you're waiting with a bad attitude. We do, right? You're mad. You're like, I don't want this. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. I can't believe we're going to do this. And you'll miss out. You'll miss out. Because you got a bad attitude. Like, how are you, you know? And I feel like it's the same thing that God says to me. It's the same thing he's saying to us today. It's the same thing that I say to my daughters, especially one of them, which I'll leave nameless, who doesn't eat her food. I'm like, you know what? I got all day. I feel like God's looking at us saying, okay, I got all day. I can wait here. We're good. I got all day. You gonna have that attitude? I got all day, man. I'll just sit here with you and wait. We gotta wait willingly with a good attitude.
Some of us, I mean, I know it's hard. Waiting, we don't like it. We don't like it. We hate it. I hate waiting. I hate waiting for like a Pop-Tart like seriously. Waiting's hard. But spiritual success, everybody's like, I want spiritual success. I do. But this is, spiritual success isn't like, I don't know what you picture. What it really is like a long-term obedience. That's spiritual success. Long-term obedience. It's learning how to obey and do it without complaining. It's learning to love your spouse and your neighbors even when you don't want to, with a good attitude. I love it. It's learning how to love the routine of life without complaining. It's learning how to love your job or do your job without being nasty about it. It's learning how to love your coworkers when they drive you crazy without complaining. God wants us sometimes just silence. Yeah, as a parent, I love silence though, right? Oh yeah, come on. Let's say a silence, amen. Some of us, you just need to sit in silence. Sometimes in my truck, in a ride here, I just shut things off. Just shut it off. No radio, no WGR. I'm just driving, and I'm talking with the Lord, or I'm just sitting there and thinking and meditating on Him. God brought up meditation first, y'all. It wasn't the enemy. God did. So Joshua's like, man, I gotta walk. Why are you walking? Because God told me to. Why aren't you talking? God told me not to talk. Why aren't you shouting? God told me ain't time to shout yet. It's not time to shout yet. I just got to obey God, and I got to do it. It's long-term obedience in the right direction. It's going in the right direction. I have to learn how to wait willingly because it's God's timing, not my timing. I said this to teenagers. I said this to them the other day, and if you're here today hearing it again, praise the Lord, He wanted you to hear it twice. There's so many teenagers that say, right, as we all did when we were there in that stage of life, where we say, man, I just so desperately want a Christian boyfriend, or I just want a Christian boyfriend in my life, right? You hear that? Well, then stop dating non-Christians. Stop. You had 3 boyfriends in the last year. None of them love God, and you're wondering, why isn't my life working out? God, where is it? Because you keep doing it yourself. Stop. Some of you are like, I don't know why I have money issues. And I could look through and just be like, okay, Tim Hortons, Amazon. Like, stop spending money. I'm sorry. Sorry. Oh, don't kill me. All right. Patience inherits the promise. It's faith and patience. Your life will require those 2 things, faith and patience. Doing what God's told you to do, obedience. Marriage that God has for you will require faith and patience. The business that God gave you is going to take faith and patience, right? The spiritual lever that you want to go to will require faith and patience. I only inherit promises through faith and patience. That's all I get it from. That's all I get it from. Not from giving up and calling it and saying, I'm just trusting God. No, that's not how it works. You can't just give up and say, I'm trusting God. You got to do something. But if you don't do something, you're not going to see the promise. All right. I got a lot of things here, but I'm getting late here, so I'm going to close with this. The last point is, you got to use your wall. Got to use your wall. I love this here because in verse 20, it says, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and the sound of the trumpet, when they gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in and took the city. Straight in. Think about this for a second. They didn't climb. When we think about the walls, we're thinking they climbed in. I want to show you this picture here. I found this. I watched this video
about how this, like when they did the excavation of Jericho and they went and looked, they found the walls.
Right, I know, it's cool.
So here's how it works. You can see on the left-hand side, the stone retaining wall is there, right? Now they got that stone retaining wall and then on top of it was a brick city wall. That makes sense to you, right? Because you can see how what happened here is, yeah, you can go ahead, Mac. You're good. What happened here was that it fell and created like a bridge for them to walk in. When it fell, they were able to walk straight in. They didn't have to climb anything because the walls fell. The same thing that was holding them back in their life became a bridge into the promised land. Became a stepping stone into the promised land. They didn't have to scale the walls. They walked straight in. How true is that? That the things in your life that you looked at, that you were so scared of, can become the thing that God uses to change and give you the promised land. It's funny. Some people, you know, I love hearing this. People are like, well, I can't share my faith with my friends. I just can't. Why do you believe that? I'm just not good at it. No, why do you believe that? Who told you that? Who told you that? Well, I just believe it because in my family, nobody can really talk, and I'm not really good with words, and I get nervous, my hand starts. Whoa. God wants to break down that wall. That wall will fall, and God will use that, and he will use that to benefit you and his kingdom. See, the blessings aren't just for you. It's also, listen, as we have walls in our life that are generational, we know that. We got generational curses that we're trying to break. Amen? Can I also tell you there are generational blessings? Why don't you flip the script in your life? Not just for you, but for your children. Flip the script. Well, my family didn't really go to church. If you can hear me, please go to church. Do what God's calling you to do. Don't let things hold you back. Let the things be an on-ramp. The mountain becomes an on-ramp. The door that was in your way becomes a hinge. The very thing that keeps you out is the thing God wants to use sometimes, because that's what God does. God's never lost a battle, and he's never wasted one either. Let that sink in. He doesn't waste them. He didn't waste those walls. He used them. The very thing hell has thrown against you becomes the very thing that God uses to bring down everything that he has for you. He wants to do it for you. The very thing that you thought, this is it, it can't beat this, I can't conquer this, I'll always have this no matter how strong I get, no matter how good life gets, I'm always going to have this, and the devil's lying to you. And he'll say, yeah, you can have some freedom, but not 100% freedom, but I'm going to tell you this right now, that the walls will fall in Jesus' name. The walls will fall. That's the thing. The things that are keeping you out are actually, God's going to use them. If you obey God, if you wait willingly, if you do it with a good attitude, if you listen to the Holy Spirit. See, Romans 8:28 tells us this. I work all things out for the good for those who love me. I do all of it according to my purposes. I can use anything. Do you realize that when Liz and Austin came up here, that was a wall in their life? And God used it to encourage you. That's why they came up here. Not because of that. They were coming up here to say, look what God did. God will use those walls. And he's going to use that for that family. And they're going to be able to tell their child that. And that child that has an anointing of God on her life. We're called to according to his purposes. We love God. And that same thing that the enemy sent to destroy you, God said, I'm going to work it out for my good. This is why Joseph said to his brothers, remember Joseph who got, his brothers kidnapped him, right? They sold him into slavery. And he said, I love it. In Genesis 50:20, he says, you meant this for my evil. You meant this for evil. You thought it was going to destroy me. But God used it. God used it. But God. Everybody say, but God. Come on, somebody. Let's turn it around, because God wants to turn it around. You thought this was going to kill me, enemy, but nope. God sent me. Listen, if God tells you to shout, you shout. If he tells you to do something, you do it. Whatever God tells you, do it. If he's telling you to forgive somebody, forgive them now. Don't wait. Do it now. You're carrying around, some of y'all are carrying around bitterness. Just carrying it around with you. And it seeps out of you. That's a wall God wants to break down. He wants freedom in your life from the hurts that you have that you won't let go of. God wants to let, he wants you to drop it. He wants you to forgive. For some of you, if he's telling you to give, give. If he's telling you to serve, serve. By the way, we have a cleanup day on Saturday, so. 9 a.m. to noon, I'll give you a donut. If he's telling you to repent, repent. It's apologize, apologize. We don't like that one either. That's for another day. I don't know what it is, but whatever the Holy Spirit's telling you to do right now, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. But the promise here, there's always a blessing attached. Why would he tell you to forgive? And you're like, I don't want to. You like being sick? It's like the guy at the pool of Bethesda when Jesus comes up to him. He's crooked. He can't get up. He can't get into the pool. Jesus says, do you want to get well? Of course he does, right? But he had to see it. Do you see it? Do you want the walls to come down in your life? Or are you thinking, have you believed the lie that they're always going to be there? That unforgiveness. Are you sick of that? The critical, nasty attitude you might have. Are you sick of that? God wants to break it down. In Jesus' name. Will you stand with me? I want to pray. Lord, you are so good to us. And you want what's best for us. Lord, you have promises in our life. You have freedom in our life. And I believe, Lord, that I am speaking to a Joshua church, to a Caleb church, to a promised land church, to a generation, I said to the teenagers, I believe that they are a generation of Joshua and Calebs who will not look at the wall, but will look past the wall because it's, oh Lord, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. It's not you, it's not your strength. It wasn't walking, it wasn't the wall, it wasn't the shouting, it was the obeying. Just do what you're called to do, and God will do what he's called to do, and he will make it work for his benefit, for your benefit, according to his purposes. Lord, I pray all around this room for those that are struggling with walls of depression. Maybe you've had depression, and your mom had depression, and your grandma had depression, and you're like, I guess I'm always going to be like this. Lord, I pray right now that you would break down those walls. Break down the walls of addiction. Break down the walls of bad behavior, of nastiness, of critical spirit, of unforgiveness and a grittiness. And I pray you break that wall down in the name of Jesus, that they will walk over it. I pray that even, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, that you're breaking down some walls and you're going to go to work tomorrow and somebody's going to say, what's different about you? God broke down this wall in my life. God broke down this wall in my life. Don't miss out like the Israelites did because of their unbelief. You can get past this. You can enter the promised land. You can, the Lord says. Father, help us. Help us, Lord. We want to be people that are following your plan and doing what you say. We want to be people because we know there's fruit in it, not just for us, but for other generations and for you as well. Lord, we thank you for your love for us, for your plans for us. Oh, they're so good. And we trust you. We trust you better than our plans. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.